This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Hey, VSiN pros, if you want a pick for tonight, kicking off week 7 with, of course, New Orleans at Arizona, I was just reading through. We've got a bunch of great picks over at VSiN.com for VSiN pros, not just on the side in total, but also props. So make sure you check that out as we welcome you back, Lombardi Line. Hope you're having a nice Thursday. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael, let's just pick up a conversation you and I were having during the break, because I do think this could play into the betting moving forward for some of these teams. I'm sure you saw it. You were talking about it during the break. Apparently, the Packers are all in on Chase Claypool. They need a wide receiver, and the rumors are the Packers are going to go hard for the Steelers wide receiver and Chase Claypool. What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, I hear Claypool's available, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams that are interested in his services, you know. And you say, why would the Steelers want to trade him? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but obviously there's an issue. They paid Deontay Johnson. They probably to say they're not going to play. They're not going to pay Claypool. His contract's not up until after next season. So, you know, will they? If he comes in and signs the tender, and he goes out there in the market, they get a third-round pick. Somebody offers him maybe a second this year. They take it. You know, this is the perfect time to do it if you want to do it. And I think the Steelers need to collect assets. So, yeah, it makes sense that they would be available. I think Claypool's a good player. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He makes plays. He's got good hands. I don't know what's going on off the field, but he would certainly be an upgrade to the Packers at their receiving core. You know, I think there's going to be some movement, but it's got to be the right movement for teams because, you know, Green Bay – If this is Rodgers' last season, and I got to think the way his body language is and the way he feels, like, he could quit at any moment. Now, I don't know what the language is in Rodgers' contract extension that he signed. This is something that's really important. If he signed a contract where he has to pay back bonus money that he received if he retires, then he may not retire. But if, say, he didn't, and I don't know the answer to that question, then he doesn't have. Then he could retire and take all his money. Which is what I think they probably did. That's my instinct. I'm not sure, but that's my instinct. So if that's the case, if you're Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, you almost have to go all in as you're at the end here now, because how many more second-round picks are you going to use to build around? They don't really work, right? Rodgers is here. His play is here. And every time you bring in young players, the gap between what Rodgers can do and the young player gets wider. We're seeing it this year. And you have a coach who doesn't diversify his portfolio, so he's running the same thing. So it's you're betwixt and between if you're Gutekunst. So you've got to do something now. And you're going to overpay for it. You understand it because you're in this marketplace, but you got to salvage your season.
It's also Rodgers who has that kind of gravitas, so he can say what he wants. But it's also those comments that he made to McAfee, where he said, you know, the offense needs to be simplified. He's also, everything's very purposeful from him, right? He knows what he's doing. He's letting Gutekunst and he's letting LaFleur know, go out and get me another weapon. Because he also said he hasn't clicked with the wide receivers quite yet. He's saying, I need weapons here. That's Rodgers through the media trying to orchestrate this.
Well, I think anybody who watches Packers game, including Big Daddy, knows he needs somebody. He needs help. Think about where they once were when he was there, when they had, all Antonio Freedman. They had, all these great receivers around them, Jermichael Finley, the tight. Remember when they had all that going? Now they've got two really good running backs that they can't utilize all the time. I thought they would take Aaron Jones and play him more in the slot and have Dylan and kind of intertwine those. Obviously, they haven't done that. But to me, they have really, really kind of the skill level of this football team has gone down. And when they let Adams go, I think when you let Adams go, you can't really sit there and say, well, we could just keep doing the same thing we've done. Like, that doesn't work.
Okay. I promise we'll get to the Giants. We will in a second, but I just want to follow up to see if any of these difference makers end up on another team. I have to ask you about, I don't expect inside information, but there are reports the Panthers are looking potentially at trade offers for Shaq Thompson, the linebacker. We've heard the McCaffrey rumors. I don't know if you want to throw DJ Moore in the mix.
They just signed DJ Moore. I think there's a group of players that I'm sure you can't touch on the Panthers. And I'm sure if somebody comes to them with an unbelievable offer for McCaffrey, they might do it. But to me, the reason I say they can't do it is because who's going to come in with an unbelievable? If Buffalo says, we'll give you our first-round pick, and you're Scott Federer, the general manager of the Panthers, wait a minute, that's the Buffalo's pick's going to be somewhere between 28 and 32. Why would I do that? I'm not getting people here, they're going to give us a first-round pick. Well, the first-round pick has a name to it. Like, who is the name? Like, what am I getting at the bottom of the first that could replace what this guy does for my team today, tomorrow, and the next day? So he's hard to trade. Now, if a team like Houston wants to give you a first-round pick and they're going to be picking in the top five or the top 10, now that's something we got to do. But why would Houston do that, right? Why would they do that? So I think to me a lot of that is just predicated on who's available and, maybe some veteran comes to them. Like Shaq Thompson says, look, I want to go somewhere and win. We haven't won here, and I've been here 5 years. We haven't won. I need to get somewhere. I mean, they have the Chenault kid who they traded for, who they think is going to be a good player. They obviously want to get him going, so they traded. Robbie Anderson was on the trade list before the blow-up happened. To me, I think, why would they trade Burns or Brown? Those are the guys you got to build a team around.
Bond just texted, good Lord, do not trade a first for Christian McCaffrey. I would agree. I wouldn't trade anything for McCaffrey, and it has nothing to do with his skill. He's never going to stay healthy. And running backs start to break down when they get to 28.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Of course they do. But I think what you have to – but why would you do that? Like, why would a team do that? Like, I think, to me, we make all these trades, and they're good for business, and they look like, they make sense. But the reality of it is – it doesn't make sense for the team when you look at it. It's not baseball. You're not giving up two minor leaguers to win the pennant today.
Contenders, pretenders. I've teased it enough. Let's do it. Okay, so look, you have a relationship with Daboll. You know him well. I don't think it's a surprise. It's like we were talking about Hackett earlier. Michael Lombardi, whenever I hear him speak, he seems like a really nice person. He's miscast as a head coach. Just remove him from that title, and I'm sure he'd be fine with it. He seems completely underwater as the leader of the Broncos. The difference would be Daboll. He seems comfortable in his skin. There's a lot to like about his vibes, and he's got a team sitting 5-1, contender or pretender.
Well, I mean, look, what separates the two teams to me, what is the one thing that separates them is Brian has done a better job of understanding what the job is and what it isn't. And Brian has managed the game much clearer and has done a really good job of doing it. And so because of that, his team has played better. But that doesn't make his team better than Denver. Like, talent level, there's a difference between the two teams. And I think Denver has struggled because Hackett isn't really ready to be a head coach yet. I don't know anybody else on that staff that's really kind of carried it. Most of the time when you become a young head coach, like Brian Daboll, even though he's not young, you got Martindale who's been a coordinator for a long, long time. That's not the case in Denver, right? That's not the case. Hackett's running the offense, and he's also a head coach, and he's inexperienced at the one job. So, you know, I do think that Brian has done a really good job. He's not calling plays. He's managing the game at 10,000 feet, which is what he has to do, which is the most important thing he can do.
I love the fact that he's not calling plays, because what it says to me, because Hackett's calling plays and Hackett's overwhelmed. Daboll, who's a tremendous play caller, what it says to you is he eschewed his ego for the good of the team, right? He brought in that kid, that Kafka, who's supposed, apparently the heir apparent to everybody as far as an offensive mind. And Daboll said, no, I need to focus, right? That there's something to be said about not needing the ego of calling those plays.
Right, and it takes you away. Like, the job is overwhelming for Nathaniel. Like, you're not this an elite play caller that somebody else can't do it. And besides, you can call the plays during the week. You can call them during the week. Here's what I want. You're on the headset. I mean, if I've heard Belichick on a headset say to Josh, stick a run in there 1,000 times. Like, right, he didn't call the run, but he said stick a run in there. You know, he wants to run the ball because he understands the situation. Like, that's what I'm looking for a head coach. I mean, this whole notion that we have this guy who's, like, he's designing these, the play sheet, the reason he's looking at the play sheet is because that stuff gets put up on a board, and these are the five things we want to run when we're in this situation, right? It isn't like he's just looking around for something to call. They've already scripted it based on, those play sheets are done by situation, so why not let somebody take a step back and you watch the game and say, hey, you know, why don't we run this? And next time we get the ball, I think we should get to this. You're seeing the game better.
Building something good may not necessarily be a contender at 5-1 with the Giants, but let the fans believe they're at 2-4 Jacksonville this weekend. Have you looked at the number? If not, take a stab at it.
Oh, I have looked at the number. I know it's 3 because I put it in my notes. Right. And I was surprised that it's, you know, that I thought, you know, everybody, I'm sure, is waiting for the hook, and I'm sure everybody's betting on the Giants because they can't believe that a 5-1 team is a dog. But when you really study the two teams, you know, the Giants are not as talented as Jacksonville. They're playing better than Jacksonville. There's no denying that. But Jacksonville has played 2 games at home this year. One, they just turned it over, and they refused to run the ball against the Houston Texans, who played cover 2 against them and said dared them to run, and they didn't do it. They wanted to run all their trickery and went for it on 4th down, turned the ball over in the red zone. The other game against the Colts, they dominated and won the game. Indianapolis's defense over the last couple weeks have not played – Jacksonville's defense has not played well over the last couple weeks.
No.
They're going to have to stop the run. They got to win the game up front and force the Giants to kind of play outside of their comfort zone, which, give them credit, they have done a great job of not doing. They have stayed true to their team, even though when they get behind in a game. You know, they're down 17-3 to the Packers. They didn't blink.
If you're waiting for the hook with Jacksonville laying 3 hosting the 5-1 Giants, even the books that shade to the favorites, it's 110. So it looks like that number, it ain't
coming.
So remember, go get the betting splits when you become a VSiN Pro. Look at the juice. When it's sitting 110 everywhere, that number's not going anywhere. We're back with Samich, a first half play on Thursday Night Football.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed. Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, The Lombardi Line is brought to you by BetMGM. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. If you're in Vegas, stop by any MGM property. Bring your state-issued ID. You're ready to bet within minutes. It's great. King of sportsbooks. Remember, they've got that first touchdown score prop tonight as well. It is 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older, betmgm.com. Okay, we're back. Got a loaded 45 minutes here. Michael Lombardi there in Ocean City, New Jersey. It's a beautiful fall day. It's going to be a great fall weekend. Good weather essentially across the country. I'm Patrick Maher live in Los Angeles. It's hot here. We head to Florida and bring in professional handicapper Mike Somich, racingdudes.com. He's got a first half play. Let's hold off on that tonight. Of course, you've got New Orleans at Arizona, 2.5 on the number. Let's start with your pro tip. I think it's an interesting place to start. And your pro tip today is handicapping the head official. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think people look into this enough. And it's not something where, you know, you always want to definitely go for it and say, change your bets based on who's officiating a game. But there's a couple officials that when they team up with specific teams, I think it makes sense to look at it. Bill Vinovich is one of the ones that I look for. He specifically does not call a lot of defensive penalties. So he's been either last or second to last in defensive pass interference, defensive holding, and roughing the passer calls in 2021 and 2022. When you take that into account, and then you have two teams like the Jets and the Broncos that are playing this week with Vinovich as the head official, they're tied for second in pass interference penalties. And what do all three of those penalties have in common? They give the offense automatic first downs. And so when you take away these automatic first downs and you have officials that are not calling defensive penalties specifically, it leans toward the under. And that's what we've seen with Vinovich since 2016. He's 62% on the underside. Now, I don't play trends blindly, but when you have two teams like this, that it really favors not having defensive penalties called, I like to lean toward the under. So I already put in an under. The game opened at 39.5, I believe, once it was announced, or once people believed Wilson would not play. Right now, the first half, there's some 19.5 unders out there that I'd still take. Anything under 38.5, I'm still playing the under on this game.
How about John Hussey? Because I think John Hussey, to me, you know, he's one of those guys that when I see Hussey, I always go right to the home team. 64-51 for the home team, 55%. You know, and I think you got to look at that. And then I agree with you. I think you got to try to stay away from guys like Sean Hockley that lead the league in penalties called, or my man Scott Novak, who's convinced, and I'm sure he is convinced, that people are coming to watch him referee games. And so I'm always a little nervous. I'm with you, Mike. I'm always a little nervous when I, you know, like when I'm seeing, like we got Scott Novak, I think, on Monday Night Football. Yep. No, we have Brad Allen. Now, Brad Allen doesn't call anything. Brad Allen's pretty good. But Scott Novak, I think we have him in the Monday game. Yep, we do. We have Monday night. We have him Monday night. I thought he was on a national TV game. He's going to be just delighted to be out there. He'll be calling everything you can get your hands on. So be careful. And Miami had 10 penalties last week in the game. You know, and it's hard to handicap when they call things that there's no consistency within the calls.
Yeah, there's definitely more variance when you have more penalties because you don't know when those flags are going to come out and if they're going to be at key points in the games. I loved your comment around specifically looking for referees who seem to favor the home team. When you get those referees in prime time, that edge seems to be even more drastic. I think you got to pay attention to who's refereeing games if you're trying to really find some profitable ways. Now, again, it's not something where every week you're going to find one game and you're going to specifically stay away from referees because of this or games because of this. But it definitely can aid your handicap when you're able to find things that line up well.
I agree. And I think, like, last week, Philly had Hussey. And I liked Philly with Hussey in the game because it was a national TV game. They were going to let him play. And I don't think he was going to get in the way. And I liked Philly anyway. But to me, it was just the cherry on top to put it over the edge a little bit. And I think, to me, that – you can't, like you just said, you can't just blindly say, well, Scott Novak's going to mess up the home team or favor the visiting team. He's going to call them on both sides. I like to stay away from a Novak game as much as possible, but, you know, I think that's just part of the handicap.
Yeah, betting is about tendencies and trends, and officials are human beings, Mike, so they have tendencies. Some of them like to be in primetime on TV a little bit more. That's just the way they are. Wired. That's the way it goes. Okay. As Michael always says, a couple of them just like to make the game about them. Okay. We've talked about this number dropping on the total tonight with New Orleans at Arizona, 43.5 full game. You're going to go first half on the under tonight, Mike.
Yeah, I like the under in the first half. A lot of that's being made about how you've seen Arizona really struggle in the first half. 3 points in the first quarter, 29 overall in the first half so far, 6 games into the year. No one's really talking about New Orleans, who's only scored 7 points in 4 of the 6 first halves. So they also struggle here in the first half. Additionally, we're not really sure who's going to be starting at quarterback yet tonight. You've got multiple back injuries for both Dalton and for Winston. So that's a little bit of an issue for me as well. I just don't like this Arizona offense at all during the first half. I think that, you know, you got Hopkins coming back, which should help them, but they're losing Marquise Brown, so that's a downgrade there. It's one of those spots where I'm not that worried that anyone's going to put up points in the first half. I don't really like either side in this spot. I lean toward the 3 with New Orleans, but it's tough to trust them right now, and it's tough to trust this Cardinals team at home. I do think I'm going to watch this for an in-game perspective as well, so I'll take that first half under, and then I'll look at in-game. I'll look to see if specifically New Orleans gets ups or up early. I am interested in Arizona trying to come back and make it close later in the game. Cliff Kingsbury really struggling when he's scripting plays, but when Kyler starts to play backyard football, they seem to move it, and I think that will also help having Nuke back in the lineup for Kyler. So if Arizona gets down, I'm interested in playing them plus the points in game as well.
And add the layer, too, that Thursday night, you know, Thursday, they're playing Thursday. The New Orleans defense had to play a lot of plays last week against Cincinnati, chase all over the field. To me, there's going to be a sense of, because their depth is really challenged because of all the injuries, there's going to be an element of exhaustion in that fourth quarter. If this game's close, like you're mentioning, you know, it is going to favor Arizona to come back because they should be the fresher team. I know they were in Seattle. They had to travel home. But to me, they're not chasing Simmons around.
Yeah, they should definitely be fresher.
I mean, Murray around. I'm sorry. I don't know where I got Simmons. They're not chasing Murray around. I'm sorry.
They should definitely be fresher on the defensive side of the football. You're missing Lattimore on New Orleans as well, which, again, should help out Hopkins. His total, I think you mentioned, Patrick, the last segment was 61.5. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets 12 to 15 targets tonight. It's one of those where the over is juiced because it's a primetime game and a major player, but I would still tend to lean over for it. I think Ertz might have a decent game as well. I looked at Ertz anytime touchdown for the Cardinals as well. That one might be one I'm interested in playing in game if you're able to get that type of market, because I don't think they put up a ton of points early, but if they're playing comeback mode and they're scrambling late, I think Ertz has a shot at getting a late touchdown.
Great point on the Cardinals, because if you think about what happened, Michael, with Vegas, where Kingsbury threw out the script and Murray just made everything happen in that second half and fourth quarter. Last week in Seattle, that game was nip and tuck the whole entire way. Murray seemed disinterested, and they were married to Kingsbury's script. So it's a good point.
And he kept turning down points. I mean, if he takes the 9 points, you know, it's what, a 19-18 game? I mean, you know, like, he's right there in the game. All he's got to do is make a play here, make a play. Of course, he turns it over, too. They're going to drive, and he doesn't have the ball in two. You know, he's carrying the ball loosely. I mean, for all we want to – Kingsbury kind of has become the deodorant for all the sins of Murray. Murray's playing just as bad as Kingsbury's calling the game.
There you go. The Seahawks have been that team, or one of those teams, at 3-3. They're tied for first in that brutal division, which is classic. They're at the Chargers. You got 6. I'm seeing mostly 5.5 on the board here.
Yeah, I'd still take it at 5.5 if I can get it there. I would like the 6 more, obviously, key number, but the 5.5 works as well. To me, this is a situation where you're getting a team which, yes, has been upgraded, but I still think is undervalued in the market a little bit. I like the fact that I think I have actually the better offense here, which is wild to say. And you have a defense that held Arizona to just 9 points last week. They seem to be improving a little bit. But to me, the key here is that you have the Chargers offensive line, which is just being decimated by injuries. They were onto their third center at one point on Monday night's game. They're a top tackle is out already. So they're facing a bunch of injuries on that offensive line. That's not getting any better with a short week here. They played Monday night. They're coming back on Sunday. And look, the Chargers have struggles at home anyway from a crowd perspective. This is going to basically be a home game for Seattle. Seattle has a ton of fans in Los Angeles. I lived there for 10 years. Patrick, I know you're there. You cannot help running into Seahawks fans when you're there. This is an easier ticket to get than the Rams ticket as well. So you're going to see a ton of Seahawks fans in that stadium. You're going to have a home field advantage for Seattle. You get the better offense, and you have an offensive line absolutely decimated on the Chargers side. So give me either the 5.5 or the 6 with Seattle.
I love it. I mean, look, Seattle, if they can play the way Geno Smith's playing, and let's face it, I mean, J.C. Jackson got benched last week. This secondary for the Chargers isn't exactly lights out now. I mean, there were throws that they blew coverages. There's throws Wilson. I mean, if they block them up front with those two rookie tackles, I think Seattle will move the ball on them.
It's amazing how highly rated Geno Smith is this late into the year. And at some point, I mean, we took him last week, 2.5, right here in the same segment. They're still not getting respect for where he is from a PFF perspective, from a QBR perspective. The top five quarterback in the NFL in both those stats right now. It's wild to say about Geno Smith, but you just have to believe it at some point because he's playing that well, and the tape backs it up.
No doubt.
At 32, he is all of a sudden proving that first-round draft pick maybe to be credible. Okay, Mike Somich, RacingDudes.com. Good luck tonight. Again, you're going to go under that 21 in the first half. Appreciate you, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Great job. Weekend. Appreciate it.
Okay, coming up next, we got Mike Palm with the Pressing Three. Included in the Pressing Three, Bailey Zappe and Kyle Shanahan drama. Yes, those two will make sense when we get to it. Plus, Sean Payton potentially landing here in Los Angeles. The Palm's Pressing Three coming up next. Plus, when he gives a pick, you got to listen because he's red hot right now.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Well, as Michael and I were discussing earlier, there's nobody hotter on the planet right now than Mike Palm. The dude can't miss. He's like Jordan in the zone. The only way you get Mike Palm's picks is if you become a VSiN pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's $99 through the Super Bowl. You get everything we offer. Pro tools, pro picks at a glance, pro tips. It's all there. Mike Palm's picks. Make sure you check it out. Also, exclusive articles from Michael Lombardi. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN pros are making cash. Get involved. VSiN.com/pro. Okay, we're back. Michael Lombardi. It is Thursday. We got a half hour with Mike Palm. I'm looking at Palm's Pressing Three, which are coming up in about 12 minutes. It's the juiciest and most dramatic three we've seen. So I hope you're ready for that, Michael Lombardi.
I don't know. I don't look at him. I don't want to look at him until he hits me with him. Hello, Mike Palm.
Good morning. It's great to have you back, Michael. I understand last Thursday you had started your book tour on your new book on FDR. Can't wait. Can't wait to hear it. A very complex figure. I mean, you'll delve into all those secrets never before revealed. Why wasn't De Gaulle at Yalta? I mean, I know you'll get into it. FDR, though, what a great subject that you're... I rank him up there with Pontius Pilate as one of the most misunderstood people in history. People don't understand the pressure Pilate was under. You know, the aqueducts were behind schedule and over budget. He was in an O-win situation.
And I also got Eleanor to talk about, too, in the book. So if I get bored with Franklin, I could go right to Eleanor. There's a lot of meat there on that bone, Mike.
She actually was the first female president of the United States. Of course, Hillary being the second.
Yeah.
Of course, Football Done Right is the book, the forthcoming book, Michael Lombardi. Mike Palm, I think you didn't bury the lead because, of course, you got to get the shout to Michael Lombardi. But let's talk about the run you've been on, not just against the pros and Circuit Invitational, but you're Mr. Minnesota. You were the only one I know on the Vikings. You can't miss right now.
Well, I feel fortunate. I know Michael went out there on a limb, and he went with Miami going against me. But think about this. We all watched the game. Minnesota didn't have a first down with 6 minutes left in the first half. I mean, so the fact that they were still in the game, they were only down 3 points or whatever, that's a minor miracle. My play was really based on Skylar Thompson. He gets knocked out of the game. So my handicap was, I never liked Skylar Thompson at Kansas State. But anyhow, they got there, like Michael said, they made enough plays to win the game. The Vikings, 21-8-1 now through the first 6 weeks of the Circuit Invitational, a 2.5-game lead on Chuck Edel, who you can hear on this network every Friday morning with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money. A 3-game lead on former VSiN host and contributor James Salinas. And a 3.5-game lead on our buddy the Bear.
I love it. I love it, Mike. You know what I want to know from you is you're so busy. You're doing all these things at Circa. You're running that. What's your process? Like, I see and I admire this, that you span into the college globe as well, and you don't strictly just stay on the pro. What's your process in terms of picking the games? One of the things I feel like I make the biggest mistake is what games do I pick to promote and put out there? I would love to know how you go about that.
I actually lean more college, Michael, because I think the pro number is so liquid and so sharp that it's tough to beat. Because remember, this isn't one of these where we put out the number on Thursday and you pick on Saturday afternoon. We have to use the current Circa lines when we go on with Matt Eumanns. And I go on at 10:30 Pacific every Friday night. Usually I'm at home through Skype and give my plays. And he has four or five guys in the contest each week, actually in studio with him or on the phone with him. And then he goes through everybody's picks. Look, Michael, I make my own number like you do. You know, you have your 2.57, and yeah, obviously it wouldn't be a play tonight at 2.5. I try to make my own number. I feel this like, I think I've won three times with Tennessee in college this year already. And I just, I don't even still think that the public has caught up to how good this team is. I see a look ahead line against Georgia. They're getting 11.5. I think that's ludicrous. The game I lost this week, I lost by a half point. I would have actually pushed to the closing line was the Illinois total against Minnesota. And I thought DeVito wasn't going to be playing. That was the talk, the Illinois quarterback. That's why I played the game under. He played terrific. They win easily as a 6.5-point dog, and it goes over the number on Friday by half a point, pushes the closing number. The pros, I tell you what helps me with the pros. So they have me doing the NFL Sunday Pro Game podcast with Danny Burke here. And I tape it at noon today, my time, just a little bit after I get off with you guys. And talking through every game with Danny actually helps me land on one or two pro plays each week. So that's contributed to my success, which usually on an average week I'm picking three college and two pros. Maybe it's 3-2 the other way or 4-1 college, but that's sort of my breakdown.
And you can find those podcasts along with GM Shuffle, VSiN.com, of course, the NFL podcast, the college football podcast, Michael Lombardi's GM Shuffle over at VSiN.com. Do you get, like, for consistent bettors, it's one of two things. One, when you're on a losing streak, sometimes it's kitchen sink. You don't care. You're just throwing cash trying to catch up. But oftentimes when you get on a winning streak like you are, some bettors tighten up. Are you seeing the number? Is it jumping out at you, or do you start to tighten up a little bit here?
No, I don't. I actually press when I'm on a good roll, and when I'm struggling, I decrease the size of the bets. Right, I go down because I don't want to give it away during those runs. It's a lot about money management. But once you can get up 100K or whatever in a certain run, then you can really start pressing. To me, I manage the money like this. I'll start out with 500 or 1,000. When you can get that number up to about 20, that's when you can really start hitting the accelerator on it. And then when I get to 100, take 80 out and start over, right? So you're never losing more than the 20 back, and you get back to those base $500 and $1,000 bets. When you're up 100, then the base sort of becomes like 3,000, right? And then a lot of this is soccer, too. You have to understand that. By the way, no goal in the first 24 at the Emirates today. People don't realize this, no goal in the first so many minutes. Michael, I'm serious about this now. This could be your pro tip. You know, a major injury or a drone or something like that, that doesn't stop the clock in soccer. You might have a drone 3 minutes in. You cash your no goal in the first 26. I mean, they delay the game for an hour. This is now a reality in soccer.
It's amazing how you that's what I marvel at. I really do. I marvel at your ability to span the globe, soccer, college. For me, I'm just focused on those 14 to 16 games every Sunday, and I struggle to do that at times. And you know, sometimes you get a bad break, but for the most part, I have a hard time figuring all the data out on just those 14 games on all these other games.
You know what else I try to do, Michael, and this is from a betting perspective with the contest plays, I try to pick one game in each window. So one game in the 9 a.m. Pacific window on Saturday, one in the 12:30, one in the evening, and then split up the play between the 10 a.m. and the 1:30 p.m. because that game I bet, I want to pay attention for in-game opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's hard in the NFL, a little better now that buys come in, but you got 8-9 games going in that 1 p.m. Eastern window. How can you possibly watch all of them? You can maybe watch two or three, but I tend to want to focus on one or two.
Right. I like that. Yeah, I think sometimes when you do that, when you have too many games going on, you don't even understand if you win the bet or lost the bet. You don't even understand it.
Absolutely.
Pro tip right there, and a professional bettor taught me this really early on. If you are in-game betting, if you're live betting, focus on one game. Hopefully a game that you can watch. But Mike Palm, you can spread yourself out too thin. You can get in trouble really quick if you're live betting across the board because you're not focusing on those games. You don't have a feel for it.
You don't even – you miss the injury. You miss what's happening with the game. You might not know what is the reason they punted. Is the reason they punted that they're ineffective running the ball, or is it because they got an offensive holding penalty? What's the reason that they do or don't have the points that they have at that point in the game?
Yep, got to have a feel for it. 100%. Speaking of a feel, does it feel right tonight where we're sitting? You're 2.5 at circa, 43.5 on the total. Does that number with New Orleans, Arizona lane, it feel right to you?
Yeah, I made this game 3. So we're kind of getting there. That early money came in on New Orleans. It went down to 1.5. You could have got in on 1.5. I think most places will end up 3. I think both quarterbacks for the Saints are banged up a little bit. I'm with Michael. They were much more pressed in that game against Cincinnati and on the short week come out of it in worse shape than the Cardinals do. The Cardinals are baffling. This team just doesn't really have any answers where to go with the ball. And it's an interesting debate of who's more responsible. Is it Kyler Murray or Cliff Kingsbury? What did the Bidwell family see in Cliff Kingsbury in 6 years in Lubbock? His best finish in 6 years in Lubbock was tied for fifth. What do you get out of that? Say, this guy would be a great pro coach. It's like Ohtani. Well, he's pitching and he's hitting. They're 20 games below 500. The name of the game in the team sport is winning.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. I mean, look, and the one thing you know for sure, you know, this is work backwards, right? You know, in the National Football League, that defense, as much as we talk about how great offensive and the greatest defense wins, and Cliff never had a good defense ever at Texas Tech. Like, he's never been able to incorporate a great defense within the system of offense that he's run. So, like, why would you do that? Because you're a fan and you're hiring like a fan. That's ultimately the only way you can explain what the Bidwell family did. They think like fans. They don't think like executives. They're not thinking it through with their decision making.
And even if he's not coaching the defensive side of the ball, how does he hire coordinators, or how does he as an offensive coach learn to play, as you call it, Michael, complementary football?
That's a lost art in the NFL, really. That's what's happened is, and Brian Daboll's winning games playing complementary football, but nobody wants to talk about it. They think he's got some magical formula. He's just being smart. He's not doing things he can't do. It's not complicated.
Also, at Tech, Kingsbury's teams got worse and worse every year. His best year was his first year at Tech with Tuberville's recruits. Next, you wait for it. Palms pressing 3. It's dramatic this week. It's next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. So you know how it works. You go to BetMGM.com or download the app. You place a bet. You get points. You can use those points for free bets, also for travel, dining, shows, anything you want. It's an awesome loyalty program over at BetMGM. King of Sportsbooks, 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Mike Palm Thursdays here on the Lombardi Line live from Circa Sports. Here's what we have, I guess you could call it like a Bermuda Triangle of drama with number 3 on your list. So definitely save that one for last. Zappi, Shanahan, and Jones. I'll just tease you. But Mike, you can start with Palms pressing 3 and number 1. Go for it.
Hence why I put it third, Patrick. All right, let's start out with number 1, Michael. There's been an epidemic. All right. this year in the NFL of delay of game penalties that either aren't called or are being called 2 seconds or 3 seconds after the play clock hits zero. Why don't defensive coordinators coach their linemen to come across the neutral zone as soon as the play clock hits zero, putting the onus on the officials to make the delay of game call, or at the very least, getting a jump on the snap?
Well, I think part of the problem is defensive linemen are looking at the ball. You're teaching them to look at the football. Now you're teaching them to look at the play clock. You can't teach them to do both, right? So and we are on delay. The game is live, and the delay is – I don't know what the delay is at the game. I do think that they've said that they want to make it to where it gets to double zeros. We should, as TV audience, have the double zeros clock too, because it's only making the officials look bad. But to think that the defensive line is going to be able to look at the 45-second clock and then come down and look at the ball and snap, they're going to get called for a penalty. So I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that'll work. I do think there's too many times, especially after a touchdown, where they start that 25-second clock too fast. We've seen it happen on too many two-point conversions, and I think that they're not allowing people to understand when they started the clock. And you see the coaches always on the sideline putting their hand up like they want to reset the 25 when sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I do think that has to get cleaned up. And I think it starts with having the same clock on television that we see at the game.
Are you satisfied with the answer, Mike Paul?
Well, it's a very strong answer. I in my mind, I think the safety, although if there's motion, some of these teams don't use any motion. But the safety is the one that could look at the game clock. I understand your concern with what they're trained to do and what their focus is. All right, let's go to number two. Michael, there have been rumblings this week that Sean Payton would be interested in the Chargers' job if it became available. But don't the Saints still own the rights to Sean Payton? Does he have full autonomy on where he goes when he comes back? How does this work?
I don't think he does. So first of all, he just can't leave his contract and then go out. Like, I think he has to go through an entire calendar year. And then I still think there's going to have to be some restitution paid to New Orleans. It won't be as dramatic as if he left a year and comes back. But I do think you're going to have to go through Mickey Loomis, because unless his contract reads that he is a free agent 1 year after he leaves the game, then it's all bets are off. I don't know if Don Yee put that in the contract. Don Yee also represents Sean Payton. But I would think living in Los Angeles, watching Justin Herbert and seeing how this Charger team kind of underachieves, Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, worked for him in New Orleans, so he kind of knows what's going on there. This team should be better than it is. For whatever reason, it always seems to fall flat. They blame it on home field advantage, all that. I'm not buying that. I think some of the decision-making by the head coach and some of the ways that they put this team together don't always go hand in hand. So I do think there's going to be some restitution back to New Orleans. I'm not sure it's going to be a high draft pick because he sat out a full year.
Do you guys think Peyton's coaching somewhere next year, Paul?
I do. I think he's too good, and he if he can, will create an opportunity where he's got talent like the Chargers do to step in there and make an immediate difference. Michael, I thought it spoke volumes on Monday night about the end of the third quarter. And I'll take you to the end of the first quarter in the Cowboys-Eagles game. I thought the key play of the game was where they rushed up like they were going to snap the ball on fourth and four and get the offsides. I mean, even the dumb college teams know to do that. Yet at the end of the third quarter Monday night, neither Herbert or Staley could figure out to do that to the Broncos. Then they go on fourth down and get stopped right away to start the fourth quarter.
I don't understand it. If once you have a break in the action, what bothered me was when we then come back out, people are ready for fourth down. Yeah. Like, I don't know what more we have to convince teams about fourth down. Like, you play Jacksonville this week, right? Like, you're going to spend Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on fourth downs. You're going to spend – because he's going to go for it. And he never looks at his success ratio. What is his success? You know, is he – he's like 35% on fourth down. Well, let me ask you, Mike Palm, if you're 35% on fourth down and you have a 40-yard field goal, what's the odds of making the field goal getting the fourth down? Yeah, why don't we have on TV the odds of converting fourth down based on the present day and based the field goal based on the present day? What's that? Like, we used to do it when I was in the league. It used to be, all right, 52-yarders, 50%, we make it. We go for it on fourth and two. It's 68%. Okay, let's go for it. That was the kind of the balance. Now it's just go for it. And we've neglected everything.
Well, you know, and the Cowboys rush to the line and go for fourth down, and when they're down 14, you know, that didn't even need to be. I don't even know if they had the right play call in. I thought they had a first down. It didn't even look
They thought they did.
Yeah, right.
They thought they had a first down. They thought they had a first, and they gave away 3 points there, and that 3 points ultimately came back to haunt them. But part of it is too is the official at the top of the screen, the woman there, she had it marked somewhere else. The guy at the bottom over by the Eagle bench had it somewhere else. So the person where the Cowboy bench was made them think they had the first down when they finally got there. That's when you got to say, wait a minute, hold on, I'll call timeout here. I got to get this clarified. And there should at least been a measurement, and there should have been a review. Why not at least review that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, McCarthy went too quick there. All right, let's get to three.
Three is my favorite of the batch this year so far. Go for it, Mike.
Of the year, even better than Pritch's last week. Anyhow, okay, here's the entree. Michael, if Bailey Zappe continues to play well in New England, is there any chance that Kyle Shanahan can make things right and get Mac Jones, the quarterback he always wanted to draft?
I think he could. I think ultimately what we've seen out of Bailey Zappe is that he's done exactly what they've asked him to do. He's played within the confines of the offense. Whereas Mac Jones was complaining about the coordinator, you know, I'm throwing interceptions because they're 50-50 balls. Bailey Zappi's throwing 50-50 balls. They're not interceptions. You can't have two quarterbacks, right? Now, the beautiful thing for New England is they have two quarterbacks that are cheap. They have Mac Jones, who's on a rookie contract. They have Bailey Zappe on a rookie contract, on a fourth-round rookie contract. So, and he's going to have $50 or $60 million in free agency next year to spend. So he's got cheap quarterbacks to build his team. Do I think they have to? I would. Do I think the people in San Francisco are going to admit that Trey Lance can't play? No. No, I don't think they're willing to do that. I think there's still people out there that thinks Trey Lance could be an MVP candidate. There really are. As bad as that is, there really are. So I think it's hard. I think Lynch and Peters, along with ever those analytical people that buy into Trey Lance, still think there's hope. There's no hope. I think poor Mike March took a beating this summer for what he said about Trey Lance and Justin Fields when he's going to be proven completely correct.
Here's the question. If Mac Jones ends up with Shanahan, can I get paid on my ticket that had Jones going to San Francisco?
Should happen anyway. I mean, it should happen.
Here's the thing I
would like all these people that say you can't take Mac Jones at three. How can you take Trey Lance at three and Lamar Jackson went 32? How can you do that? How can you make that statement that Trey Lance is worthy of the third pick? Didn't play his senior year but one game. Never dominated the conference. Lamar Jackson's all ACC, winning games, almost beating Clemson, Heisman Trophy, did everything he could do as a human being. And yet he's sitting in the green room for 31 picks. Meanwhile, you got to take Trey Lance at three. Oh, my God, if you don't get Trey Lance, it's going to be all. Minnesota didn't even offer him a scholarship as a quarterback.
Well done, Mike. See what that was? You just got his blood pressure boiling. That's exactly what the pressing three is about.
It's a comedy. It's the comedy out there because we have so many people that have no information spreading bad information out there. And it's ridiculous because they won't evaluate. They have predetermined. Oh, Trey Lance is great. You got to pick him third. No, you don't. The guy's a running back.
Patrick, I'd like to make one brief point here before you start to wrap it up. You know, I'm not big in the NFL into these official trends like Hockley and the underdogs because there's no causal connection to it unless you think Hockley wants to keep the games close for TV ratings. But you saw Ron Torbert, who has the strongest tendency to unders on Monday night. You know why that is? It's because he and the umpire on that crew call a lot of offensive holding penalties, which directly relates to unders.
Kills drives. Nothing kills a drive more. Garrett Bowles being the main culprit, holding penalties. You want a drive killed, get a hold call.
Just wait one beat, two beats. I promise he'll rant again. Let him go. But Michael, you're not done, are you?
No, I'm
okay,
done.
Quick,
I'm done. I'm
quick,
done.
Quick. 2.5, 43.5. Either of you have a play tonight?
I like the under.
No, I have. I'll go with Mike in the under. I'm not playing this. I'm not playing this ever. You can have the mayor. I think we should watch The Wizard of Oz at halftime.
follow. Follow the yellow brick road. Thank you, boys. We'll see you
Thanks,
tomorrow.
Guys. Thank you, Mike Pop. You're the best.
Next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.